I was looking at something the other day, and knowing me, it was probably a silly thing on YouTube or something. And there was some signs outside of churches being shown on this particular thing. The one or two of them tickled me a little bit, okay? See what you think of this. Lord, help us to be the people our pets think we are. Don't give up. Moses was once a basket case. There's one here I thought was particularly good for the technological age that we live in and all the social media and everything, and that was, tweet others as you would like to be tweeted. And the one that I must admit made me laugh the most was, he is divine. We are dip branches. Anyway, let's think about what we're going to talk about this morning. The thing that's gone through my mind for the last week or two is the subject of our inheritance. Our inheritance. And it links in with some of the things Robert said over the last few weeks. And it seemed right to bring this at this point. So our inheritance. Now, I'm going to go through quite a lot of scripture as I do this morning. Everything is scripture based. And don't worry if you don't note down all the verses, if you're a note taker, or if you think, oh, I'd like to read that again or whatever. I've printed out a list of scriptures and they're on the table at the back. So do feel free to take one. And you can sort of take a look at this in your own time if you want to just go over some of it, because there's quite a lot of things in here that God is saying about inheritance and being an heir of God. So let's start off with a couple of scriptures to help us as we start. Firstly, I'm going to Romans 8:17. And Romans 8:17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And the other verse I'm starting out from is Galatians 4:7, which says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. I suppose the first question is, what does it mean to be an heir? What does being an heir mean? The dictionary gives us three basic definitions. I'm going to miss out some of the other definitions which are specific to the law, but I'm going to go particularly with these three things, because if you bring the law into it, it does complicate things a bit. So an heir is, firstly, a person who inherits or has a right of inheritance in the property of another following the latter's death. Secondly, a person who inherits or is entitled to inherit the rank, title, position, etc. of another. And thirdly, it is a person or group considered as inheriting the tradition, the talent, etc., of a predecessor. So there are three levels of being an heir that we're looking at there. Firstly, the inheritance of property. Secondly, the rank, title, and position. And thirdly, inheriting the tradition. And so on. Now, each of these is very interesting to us when we start thinking about being heirs of God. However, that does mean one remarkable thing. and I'm sure you will have picked up on this, that if we are heirs of God the Father, then that puts us alongside Jesus, and we become co-heirs with him. That's quite a statement, really, isn't it? That, you know, if we become heirs of God, we are alongside Jesus, and we become co-heirs with him of all that the Father has. In other words, we have the same rights as Jesus in terms of inheriting from Father God. We have the same rank or title, that is, being sons or daughters of God. And we inherit the traditions and all that has gone before. Anything that Jesus benefited from by being the Son of God, we also benefit from. All that God has is ours to inherit because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Now, this sounds great. But also at the end of Romans 8:17, you may have heard me say, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So it is a share in everything, sufferings as well as glory. So, if this is something we want, then the question we should be asking is, how do we become heirs of God? Well, Romans says, if we are children, then we are heirs. Perhaps we should think firstly about what does not make us an heir. I've thought of four things that do not make us an heir, but that doesn't mean to say there aren't other things. For example, we are not heirs because we are part of God's creation. The verse says, it doesn't say, if we are creatures, then heirs. Just being part of creation is not sufficient. It is not an automatic thing for everyone in creation to be an heir of God. We are not heirs because of our heritage. Our background alone is not sufficient to inherit. Romans 9:6-7 says, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. Just because we come from a Christian family, regardless of how strong the heritage or important the positions that were held by our family, we do not automatically become heirs. Neither do we become heirs because of our service, the things that we do. We cannot simply justify our inheritance by the things that we have done. Matthew 7:22-23 says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Good works is not sufficient to be an heir of the kingdom. We cannot earn our place. And the fourth thing is that we are not heirs because of our regular attendance at church. We might like it to be like that, but we're not heirs because of our regular attendance at church or because of taking part in ceremonial observances. What a grand phrase. Romans 4:11. He is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised. The act of baptism or christening, regular attendance at church, etc., will not have the effect of making us heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus. So those are the things that do not make us heirs. So what does make us an heir? What are the steps that have to be taken? Well, we become heirs of God when we trust in Jesus for our salvation. His sacrifice on the cross brings us forgiveness of sin and adoption into the family of God. Galatians 4:4 says this, God sent his son to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now, the full right of being a son includes the inheritance from the father. That is all a part of being adopted into the family of God. Just in case you are thinking that being adopted isn't as good as being a birth son, legally, there is no difference. There is no difference between being a son and being adopted. They have the same rights. Put it like this. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, he made us blood relatives because of the sacrifice of his blood. So we are blood relatives, and there are four things that will have happened. If we are heirs, we will have believed in Jesus. John 1:12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Secondly, we will have been born again. John 3:3. Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And we will have received the spirit of adoption. Galatians 4. God sent his son to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. And the fourth thing here is that we will have been renewed in the image of God. And Colossians 3:9-10 says, you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. These are the things that make us heirs, and not the previous list of other things I mentioned, but it's these four things: believing in Jesus, being born again, receiving the spirit of adoption, and being renewed in the image of God. These are the things that make us heirs. It's a living relationship with Jesus. So, as heirs of God, what do we inherit? What do we inherit as heirs of God? And there's quite a lot of stuff. Let's go through this. These are things that, as heirs of God, our inheritance qualifies us for. There are amazing things which will impact on every part of our lives. Firstly, we're heir of all things. Revelation 21:7 says, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. Or as the Message puts it, conquerors inherit all this. I'll be God to them, and they'll be sons and daughters to me. So that's heirs of all things. And then we're heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? We're heirs of eternal life. Titus 3:7, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And we're heirs of promise. Hebrews 6:17, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. We're heirs of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3:7, they are heirs with you of the grace of life. We're heirs of righteousness. Hebrews 11:7, by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And we're heirs of the kingdom. James 2:5 says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? We are, in fact, blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So there are seven things I've listed there. I'm sure there must be more, but seven's a good number, perfect number. Let me remind you that we're heirs of all things. We're heirs of salvation. We're heirs of eternal life. We're heirs of promise. We are heirs of the grace of life. We are heirs of righteousness. And we are heirs of the kingdom. That's a lot of stuff. And all of that is ours because of Jesus. The exciting thing is that we're not just heirs of God. How can you put just in that sentence? We're not just heirs of God, but we are also fellow heirs or co-heirs with Jesus, joint heirs with him. Yeah, joint heirs with Jesus. It's difficult to get your head around our position, isn't it? You know, it's so easy to sort of just think of, our normal everyday life. And then you just suddenly realize that we're actually, because we're sons of God and daughters of God, we're on that same level as Jesus, in that same band, as it were, all being heirs of the Father, joint heirs with him. Sons and daughters of God. This is very important for a number of reasons. It's very important for a number of reasons. We are only heirs if we are heirs with Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. Let me say that again. We are only heirs with Christ through Christ. We are only heirs if we are heirs with Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. Let me bring you John 14:6. It says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. I think my brain's a bit mixed up here this morning. So that's why we're heirs. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. This shows the greatness of our inheritance. It is worthy of Jesus, who has also received it. It's a great inheritance because Jesus receives that same thing. It's worthy of Jesus. It's amazing if we can inherit that same thing. This guarantees our inheritance for us. Jesus will not lose it. His title deed and ours are one and the same. His taking us into union with himself secures our inheritance. It's all mind-blowing, isn't it? Mind-blowing. His title deed and ours are one and the same. His taking us into union with himself secures our inheritance. John 6:39 says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Now this reveals his love for us, that we would become a part, that he would become a partner with us in all things. And it shows the limitless nature of his love. 1 John 3:1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. "The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And Jesus' prayer for us enables us to achieve our inheritance. Another verse, John 14:2. "I am going there to prepare a place for you." You get a feeling you want a copy of this scripture list. I'll just remind you, they're at the back at the end, because there are a lot of scriptures to do with inheritance, and they're really worth looking into, far more than I can do in a short session this morning. So, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you." His coming again will bring us the full enjoyment of our inheritance. John 14, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Now this joint heirship binds us to Jesus, since we are nothing and have nothing apart from him. Unfortunately, I just quoted this at the beginning in a bit of a jokey way. "I am divine, you are the branches." But that's the verse I'm looking at now. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's quite an amazing thought. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We are nothing without that which he gives us. We just need his touch, his anointing. All of these things are part of our inheritance. All of these things come from him. I mean, some while ago, I spoke on the prayer of Jabez, you know, and that we can seek his blessing. We can ask for it. It's part of our inheritance. You know, it's so important for just to know his touch upon us. You know, if you recall though, the verses from Prayer of Jabez, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would extend my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil and free from pain. Now, all these things are part of this inheritance we're talking about here, the many verses. But there are a couple of other things as well. Okay, I am a child of promise. We are children of promise. Romans 9:8 says this. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. And Galatians 3:14 says, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We've been given some great, great promises. Absolutely amazing. 2 Peter 1:4 says, Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. There is so much that God just heaps upon us as part of our inheritance. I started out a little while ago with Romans 8:17 and talking of being heirs and co-heirs. But I did briefly mention the rest of the verse, which speaks of sharing in his suffering, because it is also part of the inheritance that we receive. We have to face this in order to share in his glory. But Father knows this and is always there to protect us. God is always there to protect us when these things come along. There's a story I came across about a little Indian boy. He had to stay away from his parents for one night. It's an Indian custom. So it was a very hard thing for his father to do. But he had to give his son the chance to enter into manhood. Now, it has to be said that the little boy was terrified. But he did as he was told. He spent the entire night alone in the woods. Many times he was afraid because of all the noises that he heard through the night. But what the boy didn't know was that his father was standing not too far away. He was just there behind a tree, and his father watched over him and never took his eyes off his son. How often do we forget that the Lord's eyes are on us when we face difficult times? We might feel, we might think that we're alone. But think again. When we're in a hole and no one is there to take us out, when the enemy comes, when we're at our weakest point, just look to the Father who is standing not too far away from you. Find your comfort in Jesus. He will be your security. So when we get that sort of second bit of Romans 8:17, where it talks of sharing in his suffering, God is there to protect and to strengthen and his eyes are upon us. Count it as pure joy to know that no matter what comes your way this week, your security is in the Lord. Security in the Lord is knowing that you completely trust in the Lord and that he will work all things out according to his will for your life. To have security means to have a firm foundation in the Lord. A strong foundation brings perfect security. Security comes with perfect peace and the protection of the Lord. Man will always be there to bring you down and make you feel insecure. But remember who you are in the Lord. The enemy will always be at your doorstep. He is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy the ministry or gifting that the Lord has given to you. But remember who you are in the Lord. You are a child, an heir of the living God, and a joint heir with Jesus. There's an awful lot to think about there. I just pray it's just planted a few seeds. Do grab one of those lists and have a look through them and just get a hold of what it is that you have inherited as you've become a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, just to seal that, John said participate. There's another word we've got as well as appropriate, isn't it? Well, we've got to lay hold of things and got to get hold of them. And what John's been saying is what we've got here. What we've been saying, what we've been declaring, and that's, in a nutshell, what John has just said. And he's elaborated. But are we going to participate in the verses, in what God tells us? Are we going to appropriate and take hold of all these scriptures as we declare here? Are we going to stand up and declare it? I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do.